15 and verse 9. And while you are headed there, I'm going to read off our text that we've been using for the entirety of this series. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 11 says, "For behold this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." Pardon me. We have been going through this singular verse. We know that conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. We know that the Lord sends him in and he convicts us. And whether it be preaching, reading, a conversation we have with a friend, we can be hit with conviction. But the problem I believe each and every last one of us share is that once conviction hits, we have a hard time keeping the fire going. And I do believe that Paul, as he writes in this epistle, he explains to us the elements that come along with conviction. And I firmly believe that if we can lean into these elements, we can keep conviction alive. And we can see, as we preach this morning, success and prosperity in our Christian walk if we simply humble ourselves before the Lord, repent of our sin, and use the tools that he gives us in order to achieve what it is he's called for in our lives. Going to our text for tonight, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." I know I've preached on this probably in the last 6 or 7 months, but I'll be honest with you, I never thought much about having a verse concerning my ministry. You know, some pastors, they get into that, "Hey, this is my life verse, this is my ministry verse." I'm like, well, how do I know if that's my ministry verse? More and more I come back to this passage of Scripture. More and more. Paul was a man, much like you and me, deeply affected and scarred by his own sin. See, Paul, for all of his achievements and all of the things that he did and all the people that he reached and all the ways that God used him, Paul at the end of the day could look himself in the mirror and say, "I am not worthy of this calling." If anybody had the right to get a big head, it was Paul. But Paul explained time and time again, "I know what I am." We looked at this final piece of the list here. What? Revenge. And we can sit there and we can look at that word revenge going, now wait a minute, that's not right. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, the Bible says. I'm not supposed to get revenge. What is this, the guy that got me turned on to the sin? I'm supposed to go over and punch him in the face? Am I supposed to go in this industry that so affected my life? Am I to burn it down? What does it mean by revenge? I think it means exactly what it says. I get revenge against my sin nature. I get revenge on it. And I think revenge on your own sin, revenge on your own sin nature, looks a very particular way. Paul, as he explains here in verse 7, forgive me, verse 9. "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." There are many people I know that the moment the Lord saved them, they act like they've never sinned. And that is folly. No, we are not slaves to it. No, we should not be racked with guilt and shame. The Lord took all those things away. But we need to have a working understanding of how this body works. We need to know what it does. He sat there, he says, "I'm not worthy to be numbered among the apostles. I persecuted the church. I did horrible things." And it got a good piece of me. It disqualified me from some things. And it hurt me from some things. And it prevented me from some things. And it took from me. If we're really honest about what's going on with our sin, those pet sins, those random sins, those habits we've yet to kick, all right, what really comes down to it is it's hurting you. It's hurting you. When I was younger, energy drinks used to be a really big thing. I guess they kind of still are a little bit. And Danielle was kind of like schooling some of us there at the church. Hey, listen, this will hurt this in your body. This will cause that. And the science came out. Hey, this will hurt this and this will hurt that. And it'll cause all these things. And you never quite know if all of that's true or not. But the point was this. Well, yeah, I need this. I need that. And you find out that it's hurting you. It's hurting you. And then you find out maybe some other things in your life. Oh, that they used to prescribe smoking to cure coughs. If you had some phlegm in your chest, they'd prescribe you cigarettes just to get the. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, this will be the best thing for you. It literally kills you. Literally kills you. And that's so often that's our sin. This is so good for you. This is good for your mental health. This is good for your physical health. Right? Oh, yeah, well, I tell you what, just a beer a week is okay. A glass of wine a day is all right. They don't care about the consequences. And for what we know about health, they turn that around all the time. You know, I remember back when I was in high school, back when they really began the push to legalize marijuana, the lies that they were telling, it sharpens the IQ, it frees the mind, makes you more present in the situation. It has all of these wonderful health benefits, and yet you see people sitting there for 30 or 40 seconds after the light turns green, just sitting there in a fog going, ah. And I don't mean to make fun, but it ain't doing what they say it's doing. Anybody here, since we've legalized it, you're enjoying a better driving experience? I'm not. It's gotten much worse. Things have gotten much worse in this state since we've legalized it. What we must understand is that sin has thrown its punches into our lives. You consider your sin, and when you consider your sin, I don't want you to think of the fun that you have while you do it. I don't want you to think about the brief chemical explosion that happens in your brain when you get into that sin. I want you to think about what it takes from you. I want you to think about what it puts into your life, and I want to ask you, would you put up with that? Because I'll tell you this, if I came over to your house and I pushed you in the chest, made you cough, took $10 out of your pocket, you'd get mad at me. But there are people out there, they're buying cigarettes. I tell you what, if I came over and I got you and your wife to bickering, fighting real good, you'd throw me out of your house. You'd want to have nothing to do with me. But yet so many of us bring things into the marriage that cause strife that the Lord says we shouldn't have. And I could enumerate that maybe at a men's meeting. You know what I'm talking about. We have problems. We have issues. And it robs our marriages. It robs our homes. It robs our families. If I came over to a house when you were raising your kids, and I brought over a bunch of guns, and I was shooting people in your backyard, and I was using profanity, and I was talking about drugs, and there was people being all sorts of crazy out there with physical intimacy in your backyard, you'd have a fit. But if they can fit it in that box in your living room, that's good entertainment. It ain't quite right, is it? Ain't quite right. Sin only takes from us. The problem is that it's got this weird ability to make us think that we need it. That we need it. I have to lie to get out of this trouble. I have to do this. I have to do that. These are lies the devil tells us. These are lies our flesh is willing to believe. These are lies the world believes, and they follow it and they say, hey, come with us and be like us and put this in your veins and institute this into your life. And gee, aren't we enlightened? Aren't we wonderful? Aren't we different? And it turns out that we're no different than the thousands of generations who come before us. All trying to release some happy chemicals, but receiving a raw deal on the other side. There are many people that think that their sin helps them. Well, I tell you what, I've been wound up real tight lately. What I need is a good afternoon over at the casino. I'll just go. I'll feed the penny slots. I'll be perfectly all right. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. And you don't get to pick how it gets you. You don't get to pick it. You don't get to pick when it gets you. I'm sure there are people out there that could sit at a casino and they could sit there and feed that nickel machine or dime machine. I don't know what kind of machines they got. They might still have a penny machine. Who knows? They feed that. Oh, I could do that. And they'll do that for years. And then one day something will happen. It'll get them. It'll get them. Be sure your sin will find you out. You can't hide things, especially things that grab a hold of you and grow. You can't hide it. We had these kids went to our school. They went to a Baptist church, and they went on a mission trip. And they got to drinking some water they shouldn't have had anything to do with. And they came home, and I'll spare you the gory details, but they both dropped a significant amount of weight. Now, here's the thing. I look at them. I don't see the parasite eating them, but that parasite was eating them. And he was eating them good, and they were sick, and they were good and sick, and it took them a good long while, and you look at them, and they're almost gaunt. You thought maybe their parents were locking them in the basement or something. They were pale, and they were bony, and they were really struggling. See, the parasites that we have is our sin, and it eats at you, and it eats at you, and it eats at you, but all you wanted was a sip of water. All you wanted was a little bit of relief for your parched lips. You just wanted to have a little bit of time to relax. And before you know it, you've got a whole lifetime of trouble. That's how it works. Sin does not play. It has its punches. It punches hard. It makes you think that it's your friend. And then it knocks you out. It might even make you believe that that sin is good for you. Oh, I have to. If I don't, brother, do you understand what my emotional state would be? Yes, that's why I'm telling you what the Lord has to say. Because that sin's lying to you. Oh, I have to have this relationship. I have to have this thing coursing through my veins at all times. Or else who knows what would happen. That's called preventing a temper tantrum, by the way. Sometimes you got to be able to tell your body no, right? Sometimes you got to learn that. And each and every one of us in this room know what it's like to say yes to their bodies when they know they ought to say no. And then it turns out it's not so good. It's not so good. Sin has manipulated you. It has stolen from you. As Paul says, it says, I'm not worthy. For this very specific reason, he wasn't being false. He's not showing false humility here. He's not pretending. He's not putting himself down to look like the good guy. He is literally saying, the stuff I did, this in particular, disqualifies me from so many different things. And my friends, that's what sin does. Well, why would God be so cruel? Go ahead and get a speeding ticket and get a background check by the government. I had a buddy one time. Something happened with a delinquent bounce check or something like that. Got himself into a little bit of trouble. He went and he fixed it, joined the military. Went to go get his background check done so he could get a promotion. He lost the promotion because of that. Everybody does it. After a while, we were hiring people, and we would hire people at work, and I would always have to check their social media just to make sure I wasn't hiring somebody going to be a problem for us later. We all have qualifications. We all have limits and heights that we're trying to reach. Sin cuts that wind out from underneath us. Sin stops us from being able to do the things that we wish we could. What it steals from you is your testimony. What it steals from you is your testimony. You can spend your entire life building your integrity, showing everyone how strong you are, but in a moment, in one decision, you're always seen the same way after that. You're only ever known by that thing, right? You'll sit there and you'll be in the church and you'll give and you'll make sure certain projects always get funded and you'll always support the pastor and teach classes and be there for every work day. But the moment your name ends up in the paper because you were drunk driving, you carry that with you for a while. You bust up your marriage, you bust up your life, you bust up your work, you steal, you go to jail, whatever it is, it takes but a second to do the wrong thing. I've known people who have gone to jail because they got into a little bit of a shoving match. The person that they shoved tripped over their own feet. They fell backwards, cracked their head open, and died. Years lost. Why? Because you were at the bar getting drunk around a rowdy element, and you yourself got rowdy, and you did something you shouldn't have done, and you can't take back. You can't take back. It steals from us. It robs us of our testimony. It steals our blessings. The Lord won't bless you when you've got rampant sin in your life. The Lord will withhold. And sometimes in the very nature of us being so busy with our sin, we've gotten so far from God, we miss out on blessings. We miss out on opportunities to serve the Lord, to be a help. I wonder how often, because of our gross moral decisions, we've gone to give someone the gospel and they wouldn't hear it from us because we're a vile human being. That'd be a sad way to live. Well, why would that matter to you? Why would you give me the gospel? Why would you tell me anything about the Lord when you do this, that, or the other? And you're out there at the bar getting drunk, and you're over here smoking weed with us, and you're over here cussing out the employer, and you're over there talking about how you smack your old lady around. Why would I give the gospel? Why would I hear anything about God from you? Robs us. It robs us by our own decisions. I mean, could you imagine? Could you imagine setting a scenario up for yourself to get robbed? For me to be sitting there on the street, sitting out in front of my front door, going, hey, you come here. You need some money? Oh, yeah, I need some money. Come here. Here, take this gun. Put this mask on. All the good stuff's in there. Just slap me around a little bit so make it look good. We wouldn't do that. We lock our doors. We get big dogs. We load our guns. We do everything we can to make sure that our homes do not get robbed. But yet with our own personal lives, we're letting the robber in. It makes it 110% our fault. Because not only did we make the decision to sin, but we made that decision knowing that we don't get to pick what that sin takes from us. Our sin has hurt us. Our sin has hurt us. It's hurt your health. I'm sure, I'll tell you this, I'll just be honest. My gluttony has hurt my health. Perhaps yours has hurt yours. The things that we've decided, the things that we've put into our bodies, the things that we have participated in has hurt our health, both physical and mental. It's affected our spiritual health, I can promise you that. It hurts your wallet. It hurts your energy levels. It hurts your relationships. And it hurts those that are in relationships with you. So let me tell you, now that we've gone through point number one, are you angry enough at your sin to take some revenge? Are you angry enough at the sin that has happened in your life and the things that you have done and the things that you're still doing in order to get mad enough to do something about it? In order to do something about it. What is it that Paul then says? Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. What is he saying? By God's grace, I am now what I am. Not just a lost sinner who's been robbed and beaten by his own decisions. Not someone who welcomed this punishment and this hurt into their lives. But I am a sinner saved by grace. The biggest revenge you can ever get on sin is for the Lord to save you. Because now, instead of the hell I deserve, I get a heaven I don't. We need to turn to the grace of God in our lives. You need salvation. You need forgiveness. You need forgiveness. Lord, what I did and what I have done up to this point was wrong. You made me to be different than I was. And Lord, I am sorry. And I will put everything I've got into doing better with what you've given me. We need to get forgiveness. We need repentance. We need to turn away from it. Right? We so easily give human beings the cold shoulder when they hurt us, when they bother us. We so easily get frustrated. I was zipping through the mire a few days ago, and I'm just hurrying up. We got this stuff to do and that stuff to do. I'm not paying attention. I've got my head down, just zip, 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 zip. I move quick for a heavy guy, especially when I want to get out of the store. I came around a corner real quick, didn't hit the lady, didn't touch the lady, didn't really even enter into that bubble, but I got close enough to startle her. You ever do that? You ever get close enough to a stranger to startle them? You ever look like this when you do it? Right? I'm sweating in the face. I'm hustling by. I think I had a sweatshirt on just, ah! That lady, she saw me in two more aisles after that. She went to go turn into it. She saw me. She turned right back out. I go, I don't like that. I don't like that. It's like when I was living over in Flushing, and I'd go on those nature trails up by the Flint River, and you'd go through that park. And I came around a corner one time, and there was just this lady, and I scared the tar out of her. And then you're sitting there going, there's no way to fix this. The more I explain it, the creepier I'm going to look. So what do you do? All right, well, Bob, which way are you going? She goes, I'm going that way. All right, well, I'm going that way. You have a good day. Just took off, went the other way just to make sure she felt comfortable. Listen, we'll give the cold shoulder. We'll give a hard brush to people we do not like. What are you doing bringing sin into your life? Instead, we ought to give it the cold brush. We ought to avoid it like the plague. Like the big bearded sweaty guy that ran into us at the store. We need to avoid that thing. We need to avoid it. That needs to be our heart. No sin allowed in my life. Lord, I repent of it. I want nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Like old gym gear after you graduate from high school. You don't take that home. It's done. It's rotten. It's walking away on its own. You just let it go. That's what we must do for our sin. We must let it go. We must stop playing with it. And turn wholeheartedly to the Lord. And I'll tell you what, that's some of the best revenge you can get on your sin is to leave it high and dry. Leave it all by itself. You need to turn to the grace of God. Get forgiveness. Become better. I like how Paul says that I am what I am. You know what, folks? Let's be honest about us. We're sinners. But aren't you glad that's not all you are? You are a child of God, given resources that when you were lost, you never had. Given resources that because of our flesh, we don't always want to take advantage of. But you know what? We have resources. We have help. We have a support group here at the church. We've got the Lord who's always looking after us. There's not a single temptation we can get ourselves into. He won't get us back out of. You know how good you've got it? You've got it real good. Use those resources. Not just forgiveness, but strength to fight temptation. You tear yourself away from it because you're different now. Paul, no matter how hard he worked, could not undo his past. There were still families that were broken up because of what he did. People that had died because of what he did. Stephen got up and he preached one of the best sermons you'll ever hear in your life. And Saul committed him to death. You understand, you don't shake that stuff off of you. And many of us, we sit here, and there's those moments where our sin, that memory comes back. Remember how disgraceful you are? Remember how ridiculous you are? Remember that thing you did? Oh, you're scum. Don't believe this thing about you being a child of God. Don't buy into this that you got hope. Don't think you can do anything good, because remember that time you did this. No, you're different now. You can't change what you did, but you can change what you're doing. You following me on this? You can't go back and repaint the past. Many have tried and they have failed. What you can do is make better now. That sin is out of my life. I'll make amends with the people that I hurt as best as I can, but I can't take it out of their lives. I can't give them a past where that never happened. All I can do is make it right in the future. And folks, that's some good revenge right there too, isn't it? Not only am I gone, but now I'm working in the other direction. Folks, what we need to do is when sin has thrown its punches, we have to punch back. We have to punch back. I'm not doing that anymore. That's not who I am anymore. That stuff, though enticing, does not define me. It is the grace of God that defines me. It is the blood of Christ that marks me. I don't need that sin. I don't want that sin. I am scouring it out of my life. My friends, if you're saved here today, you are a child of God. Nothing commanded is impossible, even to those of us that struggle the hardest. You ever get to thinking that there's some people that are going to be able to serve the Lord in a way you're incapable of? Oh, I'll never be able to speak like that. Oh, I'll never have the bravery to do this. I'll never have the intelligence. I'll never have the money. I'll never have this, that, whatever it is that you sit there and get blue about that you shouldn't be getting blue about. If the Lord has commanded you to do it, He's going to find a way for you to do it. Now, it might not make any sense to you at the beginning, but I promise you, what the Lord commands to us is more than possible. It is but our fear and our own hesitation that holds us back. God is going to aid you in whatever effort He sets you to. He is going to help you. He's going to provide for you to do it. Don't play that game where we put ourselves down. There's a thing about fake humility. And I tell you what, every now and then you need some good humility. I love people who are actually humble. I love Paul's approach here. Hey, I've disqualified myself. I'm not going to be quite there, but what I can do, I will do. You know, I appreciate that, but I don't like these people that drag knuckles into the dirt. Well, you know me, I'm useless. I'm nothing. That's a lazy person's way out, by the way. If I make you think I'm useless, you won't expect anything out of me. If I try to prove to you that I lack the intelligence, the courage, the good common sense, maybe you'll leave me alone. You know, God knows us. He knows when we're being lazy. He knows when we're playing around. Don't play with God. There's not a thing He'd ask you to do that He's not going to help you with every step of the way. So we know that we must turn from sin. We know that we must not listen to what it says about us. And another way that we can punch back at our sin is to make sin as unwelcome as possible. As unwelcome as possible. Part of that is sanctifying your life to God. I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm solely reserved for my Heavenly Father. Now, does that mean you don't have fun? Of course you're going to have fun. Does that mean you don't have hobbies? Of course you have hobbies. Does that mean you don't feed yourself intellectually and have a good time and fulfill certain? You go ahead. You can do that. God don't make you pick either or. But there's going to be some things you stay far from because you are sanctified unto the Lord. Well, hey, why don't you come on over and watch this movie? What's it rated? What's it about? Oh, no. What are you, some kind of a baby? What, your God doesn't allow you to do it? Listen, I would sooner see an Olympic athlete eat a box of Twinkies before a Christian ought to go over and feed themselves spiritually that way. And I'm serious about that. We hurt ourselves when we feed ourselves spiritually the wrong way. We must be sanctified in every aspect. These ears belong to God. These eyes belong to God. This mouth belongs to God. It all belongs to Him. And I gotta be real careful. Real careful in what I do because there's a sin nature inside of me and it wants out. And if I feed it little tidbits and morsels, it's going to get stronger and stronger. You think about, you know, the funny thing about having a pest in your house. We used to get those from time to time. You know, you got people, they've got a cockroach problem. Well, have you considered sweeping the floor and making sure all the food's up? Well, why should I have to do that? Do you know how much I pay in rent? Well, no, you see, as you feed them, they live. And then they make babies. And then you have more of them. You have to stop feeding them. Well, I don't understand. What am I supposed to do? Not have food? Well, you know, you're just not supposed to be messy with it. You're supposed to be particular about it. And then we'll get the treatments going and everything will be fine. All right. You go in there and they got bread all over the kitchen counter. They've got food left in the microwave. They got a pile of dishes up in the sink. And they're still wondering why the pests don't go away. Because you fed them. And you continue to feed them. You know the thing about your sin nature? Why on earth would we bother crucifying the flesh every day? If we're going to come by and give it medicine and give it food, we're going to feed that flesh with some bad entertainment. Why would we do it? We're just making it stronger. We're making it better. No, we must live a holy, sanctified life. We must remove all modes of temptation that we can. There's going to be some things you can't avoid. Commercials that pop up. You're going to be in some places. People are going to be talking about some things. Things that might even entice and tempt you. But you're on a mission of revenge against your sin. You're not going to give it any space. You're not going to give it a quarter. You're not going to give it any spot in your life. For my niece's birthday, we went to go play laser tag. And they bought special passes for all the kids. They could do all the things they want as many times as they want. And if you're an adult helping a kid, you got to go too. Yeah. Gideon and I, we were on our own team. I think out of 30-some-odd people, he took 14th place. I was so proud of him. Kid was a monster. We found a little quiet spot. I took a picture, just him and me sitting there playing laser tag. Big green vests on, having a good old time smiling. Took a picture of it. And I anticipated somebody saying it, because whenever I post a picture of one kid, everybody automatically assumes that I hate all the others. You know, well, he sure does take a picture of that one a lot. Well, that's because that one held still long enough. You get him to hold still, and we'll see. Also, I ain't a photographer. But no, I'm sitting there, and I'm anticipating someone's going to say, well, there he is with one of the babies, you know. So I put up on Facebook when I posted it, said, we would have gotten a picture with the other two, but they were on the other team. Because could you imagine how weird that would be? All of us in different, just right there, and somebody come along with us, and you couldn't stand next to Caspian without him getting you, man. He's staying far from him. Why? Because sin's on the other team. Sin's on the other side. And I need to stop inviting him to come on over. It's trying to rob from me. It's trying to hurt me. It's trying to distract me from God. It's trying to do all these things. I need to get it out of my life. I need to remove all forms of temptation that I can. And I need to destroy every ounce of its existence. You know what the problem is? One of the problems here is that you can remove everything you used to have to commit that sin. You could put up barriers and restrictions, set up your internet, set up your drive to work, set up the friends that you're with. You could do everything just right. But every now and then, a memory of your old sin will come knocking. Remember when we used to do this? I'll always remember. I'm sure I've used this as an illustration before. When I was in school down in Cincinnati, there was an adult that was there. He was retired military. And he just sat there at a break one day. He goes, I just suddenly got an overwhelming urge for some liquor and a cigar. And I had to sit there and tell him, well, sir, we're fresh out. He goes, no. And he explained. He goes, I haven't had that in decades. Decades. And just all of a sudden, there it is. You know what? Sometimes the memory will sneak back up on you. And sometimes it's not always shame, embarrassment, or regret that we feel. Sometimes we're like, oh yeah, that was pretty nice on a Saturday afternoon. Hey, that was pretty good. We need to go straight to the Lord when that happens. Straight to the Lord. You go, hey, Lord, here it is. I ain't seen this in 15 years, but yet, Lord, here it is. It showed up today, this memory. Lord, hang on to me. Because I'm getting a feeling that I'm about to be not trusted anymore. Please, Lord, strengthen me. Guide me. And when the opportunity for that sin comes around, we do what Joseph did and we flee. And we flee. And I like what Paul did here. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Listen, I didn't deserve this forgiveness, but I'll tell you this right now, it ain't wasted on me. It will not be wasted on me. He gave me a second chance. I'm going to use every bit of this chance I possibly can. And you know what Paul was able to say at the end of his life? You know the verse. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I fought a good fight. When the temptation to get out of church overcame me, I showed up. And I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, there's a problem spiritually. Do not let me succumb to it. And when those old temptations came knocking, those old friends came up to the door saying, hey, come with me. Lord, it was you that gave me the good sense of mind to tell them not today. It was you. I fought my fight. I kept the faith. But why? Because of this grace I did not deserve. Because of this grace. If we were to consider the fight you have with the sinner that you were, what kind of fight would it be? What kind of fight? I'm not big on boxing, but I remember growing up watching real fights, you know. And people used to be bad, right? Now we've got MMA, and you've got all these people who are YouTube stars and personalities, and they decide that they're going to go be boxers. I think the last one that I heard of that I really got a kick out of was two weightlifters. People who were known for their World's Strongest Man competitions, and they got into the boxing ring with each other. And it was like watching two elephants push each other. What kind of a fight are we having against our sin nature? Is it bloody? Is it brutal? Is it a good fight? Would it make pay-per-view? Or is it like a child fighting in the back seat with a sibling? Stop. 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 Now we need some fervor. We need some strength in our battle against our sin. We need to be able to sit there and say, because of the grace God gave me, I am going to fight so hard. I'm going to fight who I was. I'm going to fight this temptation. I will get my revenge out of this. I cannot fix what my sin has caused. But you better believe that I'm going to work hard as I can to do something with this forgiveness I was given. I'm going to build better. I'm going to build relationships. I'm going to help. I'm going to be the opposite of everything that I was. And of course, this battle that we're having doesn't just end with us in our own lives. As we preach the gospel, as we preach against sin, we take our revenge. Because not only have I thrown it out of my life, but I've made sure that it can't get into anybody else's. We had a lady one time, and she wasn't paying her rent, and she was mean, and she was always vile on the telephone, had all these nasty words for you, you know. It doesn't matter what, hey, how are you? I'd cuss you out there in the street. I said, well, all right. And she'd always get the money together. We'd work with her, even though I didn't want to because she was so mean. Always work with him. Always work with him. Finally, one day she was cooking food and she passed out. And she was cooking with oil. Now, I'll tell you what, if you're cooking with oil, you need to be present, you need to be paying attention. But she and her boyfriend were there, and they got distracted by, I'm assuming, the drugs they were consuming, because when we found them, they were a wreck. Burned nearly the entire kitchen all the way through. Left their little daughter in that room. Thankfully, they were able to get her out. We were good, you know. By the time I got over there, someone was dragging that poor little baby out. Just sitting over by the car, smoking a cigarette. Well, there's this thing that when somebody recklessly does what they did, you get to tell people about it when they call. Hey, what kind of a tenant was this person? Well, and there's only certain questions you could answer. Hey, have they ever caused vast property damage due to negligence? Yes. That followed them around forever. Now, why do I tell this story? Is it because I revel in that stuff? No, I don't revel in that stuff. That's awful. I wish that people were okay. I wish that people were taken care of. That's what I really want in life. But in not doing business with them anymore and marking them as somebody that I won't do business with anymore, it protected a lot of other people. Right. Protected a lot of other people. Now, and if that still sounds mean to you, I want to throw it out this way. If that sounds aggressive to you, let me put it like this. If you've never owned a property or never ran a property, and you had to pull a dead child out of a room, you'd understand what I'm saying. Right? That's a horrible thing to have to deal with. So listen to me, folks. What must we do? We must take a stand against sin in a very public and very open way to discourage this behavior from anybody else. For all those fake Christians out there, I got to be careful using the word fake. I'm getting mean. But for those people out there that sit there, oh, you could drink a little. You could do a little dope. You could do a little bit of this. You could do a little bit of that and still serve the Lord faithfully. They're lying to you, and you need to be the one to stand up and say, you're lying. you're lying. Well, you could fool around a little bit. You could sin a little bit. You don't want to stress yourself out trying to live a good life. You can't stress yourself out living a faithful life. You can't do it. God gave us the key to a happy life, and we throw it in the dumpster when we do things otherwise. We must preach Christ and our vengeance against sin, both his salvation and his deliverance from sin. We have to preach against sin itself. Now, here's the thing about preaching against sin. It's one thing to do it how I'm doing it, where you get up and you're sweaty in the face and you're red and you're just beating the pulpit on it. That's one way to do it. But the more effective way to do it is to do it with your actions. To do it with your actions. Don't do it. Don't do the sin. When you're sitting there and you see other people committing that sin, you move yourself from it. You never put yourself purposefully in a situation where that could happen. You know, there's a bit of a problem in this world of girls going to clubs and men drugging them. And I firmly believe that men that do that ought to be beaten within an inch of their lives. Right? Let me be very clear on that up front. They said, well, how do you, and they were talking about this, how do you instruct your daughter to be careful? And there was all these tricks and tips and hints and really helpful things. But none of them said the thing I was thinking. Don't go where they'll poison you. Don't go there. Well, that's very restrictive. I've never been there, and I'm happy. It's weird. I'm a genetic freak. I'm a freak of nature. I don't go to the bars. I don't go to the clubs, and it don't bother me. Why would I put myself in danger? Now, listen, there's this area down here where a lot of people get robbed. So what you need is you need this, and you need that, and you need this, because there's a really good Subway at the end of that corner. The tomatoes are always good. So in order to get there, you gotta... Are you out of your mind? There's 1,000 different sandwiches out there I could have, and I don't gotta sit there and wear a bulletproof vest to get to them. So why would I wade into the waters of sin? Why would I play? No, the best thing I can do to preach against sin is to stay far from it and show people how to do it. Well, aren't you bummed out that you can't have it? No, to be honest with you, I've never thought about it. Never had to think about it. What must we do? What we must do is give our lives, our actions, wholeheartedly to God. We preach against sin in our actions. Oh, and you better be preaching it with your words. Preach against sin with your words. That's wrong. Well, that's not a very nice thing for you to say. Well, if the bridge was out and I told you the bridge was out, would that be very mean to say? Hate to ruin your Sunday morning drive and all, but I'm warning you, it's bad for you. It's not going to help you. You know, I talked to somebody just recently. You know, you really, really got to be careful talking about your spouse that way. Gotta be careful. Well, that's no big deal. That's how I grew up. You know, we call her old lady. We call her the ball and chain. We call her this. We call her that. Gotta be careful with where you show some disrespect. You gotta be careful. You know, I knew a young couple, they like to pretend to argue. And that was their thing. They're always so funny and so cute. Now, I know we all do it. We all do it. But they took it to an artistry level where they would sit there and call each other names in public, just being goofy. Like, not nice names, mean names in public, just being goofy. Would you believe they got divorced? Would you believe that? I did. Because you got to be careful with how you do things. So I sat there and I told that person, yeah, you shouldn't do that. Oh, it's no big deal. Nah, I want to warn you, you shouldn't do that. Right? Well, you shouldn't be drinking that. You shouldn't be smoking that. You shouldn't be talking like that. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be cheating and robbing and gambling. You shouldn't be doing these things. Oh, you narrow-minded bigot. Well, all right, well, go dance with it. See how it goes. Go ahead. I was training a guy at PetSmart one time. We were doing our dog training classes. And the form that you fill out helps us sort your dog into different classes. So if you've got a large breed that's kind of aggressive, you win a class all by yourself. At least until we can get you ready to join everybody else. So we were sitting there and I was looking at it. And I go, oh. And I'm training this guy. I go, all right, well, we need to be real careful with this one. You know, I've got big dogs. I'm not worried about it. I grew up with big dogs, have a bunch of big dogs. I go, no, that's not the point. No, yeah, we got this big old thing. Just would not listen to me. That dog came in, and it sat, and I could read how tense this animal was. Clown I was training goes right on over to it, goes to pet it. Sparky did not appreciate it. Actually, I think the dog's name was like Tiny or something like that. It was just something completely a lie. Oh, whack. Well, that's the weirdest thing. Normally, I'm really good with dogs. Well, let me tell you something here, dog whisper. Some animals don't like you in their face. You see this right here? This is how we know not to mess with it. And you went on over, and instead of listening to me tell you that this is bad, you put your hand right in front of a grumpy dog's mouth. And what happened to you is what's supposed to happen to you. Go play with the dog. Go ahead. Go play with it. Is that a raccoon that's out in the middle of the day? It's rolling around in the grass looking all crazy? You want to go pet it? You go pet it. Call me mean. Call me heartless. But I'm warning you. I'm warning you. These things have a wide-scale effect on us. We need to preach it with our words. And my friends, let us preach it without apology. Without apology. Well, I guess we just agree to disagree. No, it's not about what I think and you think. It's not me versus you. Thus saith the Lord. That's it. Not my interpretation versus your interpretation. God's very clear here. Don't do that thing. Well, are you sure? It's not about me being sure. It's what it says. Well, don't you sometimes, it doesn't matter how I fail. The Word of God don't fail. Listen to it. Listen to it. We need to stop being so apologetic. We need to stop being so quiet. We need to make war against our sin and make war against sin in this world as only one who has survived that sin can. Wisdom has taught us much, hasn't it? Experience has taught us much wisdom, has taught us much in what we should or should not do. And I believe that it is our obligation to turn to those before they get into those situations and warn them. Now, you don't always have to sit there and say, oh, hey, I did that. I just want to let you know that I fell into that sin. No, but sometimes it does help. Hey, listen, I conquered that. That hurt my life. And the Lord, by His grace and His mercy, convicted my soul, brought me from that sin, gave me the victory over it. And now let me tell you, let me show you how you can be free of it. Let me warn you before you do it. I think I used that illustration recently about milk. You smell the milk. Smells awful. Hey, honey, come here. Smell this. Why? It smells awful. And why would you smell it? I think that's the one thing in marriage that really tells us how mean we are to each other. Hey, hon, come smell this. It's awful. Now, there's some of your marriages out there, and good for you, that'll sit there and smell that, go, ugh! And you seal that up and you get it out of the house before your husband or your wife can smell it. Right? I think that's one of those tests for us. But no, don't put your head in that garbage can. Why? It smells. Don't put your hand in there. It'll bite you. Folks, we need to listen to good, solid wisdom. We need to share the hard-won wisdom we have. Not everybody has to commit the sin to learn how bad the sin is. We could sit there with our experience and tell people, don't do the things I have done. I'll get that every now and then. Well, remember back when you did this? Yes, that's why I'm telling you. Been there, done that. The t-shirt's lousy. It's itchy. Don't do it. Don't do it. You do not get the reward it promises. You ever go on vacation and there's somebody sitting on the corner of whatever vacation destination you're at and they offer you a free dinner, you just have to listen to a presentation? Danielle and I, we had that on our honeymoon. I don't know how we knew. Somebody had warned us. Don't do it. You ever fall for it? You're sitting there in a 4-hour presentation over some kind of like a what's that? Like some kind of vacation package you gotta buy, some timeshare. You know, it's a trap. Don't do it. Hey, they're going to come up to you. They're going to say, hey, free dinner, free this, free that. Oh, and they'll give it to you. But you got to listen to them trying to sell you on this package for 4 hours. Oh, okay, well, I'd much rather not do that on my honeymoon. Thank you. Learn. And when you learn, you turn around and you teach. We can make war as one who has survived can. One who is terrified of seeing others go the way that they did. One who has a love and concern for the people in their lives, so much so that they're willing to be honest about things that they've done in order to prepare them or to protect them from danger, protect them from the things that have happened to us. We need to make war as only one who has known victory can. You ever have victory over sin? I hope you have. I hope you've got a list of sins that you've gotten the victory over, that the Lord has saved you. No, the Lord has convicted you. He's protected you. He's turned you from it. And he took that victory and he gave it to you. I hope you've got a few of those under your belt. So you can sit there and turn around and say, hey, listen, I know this is hard, but I'm telling you it's worth it. I know it seems like you're missing out on something, but let me tell you right now, what you're missing out on is a world of hurt and sorrow. The moment I gave that up, my life was better. The world needs a few more people to stand up and say that was foolishness. And when I came out the other side, I was a whole lot happier without it than I was with it. A whole lot happier without it than I was with it. Because I'll tell you what, it's only ever satisfied for a moment. Whatever sin is, it's only made you happy for a moment. We need to go to war as one who is on a mission, as only as one who's been on a mission from their God can. Let's continue on our reading, verse 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Let me tell you something beautiful, something I really like. Paul sat there and he saw himself as undeserving of the role of apostle, as somebody who doesn't deserve the calling that he had, as somebody who disqualified himself. The beautiful thing here is that each and every one of us, we're the same way. We don't deserve the things of God. We don't deserve to serve him. We don't deserve to have an opportunity to stand up and make war against sin and get our revenge against it. We don't deserve that. But somewhere along the line, some sinner with a heart just as black as yours was saved and gave you the gospel and taught you how to live and showed you the things of God. And you laid those sins aside. And now guess what it's your job now to do? Whether it was I or they, we preached. We preached. We worked together on this. Ain't none of us worthy, but every single last one of us called. Ain't none of us, none of us deserve it, but each and every last one of us who are saved are expected to stand up against their own sin, stand up against the sin of this world, not as one that needs to put others down to lift themselves up, but one that is more than happy to rescue others from the trials and the troubles that that sin causes. When we shut the door to sin in our own lives and we help shut the door to the sin of other people's lives, that, my friends, is some good vengeance. It's some good revenge. I'd much rather foil the devil than to be eaten up by the parasites of sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're so good to us. You're so patient to us. Not only do you understand our shortcomings and understand our frailties and our inabilities, Lord, the things that our sin has done, but you forgive us. You justify us as though those things never happened. Your Son took all of our sin upon his body, paid for it, though he did nothing wrong. Father, in this war that we have against our sin, when conviction presents itself, Lord, we need to get some revenge against that sin that took us down. Shut it out of our lives. Turn to you wholeheartedly so that, Father, we could live a blessed life. We could live a prosperous life. Lord, the kind of life that anybody would want to live instead of this one filled with excuses and apologies and being robbed by the thing that we're fighting so hard to keep into our lives. Lord, I pray you grant us freedom from our sin. I pray you help us free others through the preaching of your word. so that, Father, we're found fit in your sight. Though we do not deserve to be in your service, I pray you help us to serve well. Help us, Lord, to do better. For its name of Jesus we pray. Amen.